Yes, second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
That is a slow charge.
I'll let Todd hand these out. Everybody got one?
Yep, got one. Thank you.
Mr. President, what I've just handed out is a notebook containing the information that we will follow through for today. Important, there's two charts, two tables that are legal-sized paper. I'd encourage you to maybe pull those out of your notebook because we will reference them quite a bit. And then contained within the notebook is a table of contents. And Mr. Sharp, who will lead the discussions, has the same notebook. So he will reference the tabs that we will reference the documents we'll be working off of. So that's okay. What you
as
have
as we get
you.
Started, I would just like to bring up one thought of mine to council. And I did send an email, I think, yesterday to Mr. Sharp and Mr. Robertson and Mr. Moore asking their opinion. But my personal opinion is that, you know, we started this project out, seemed like a long time ago, but we had a report from a group, a task force, you call it, I guess. Then we had introduced ordinance. Then we had another planning and zoning recommendations. Then we had another recommendation from Mr. Hutt, whoever his people were. And this has gotten, I think, a lot of conversation. I think it's easy to get mixed thoughts. And since we had our public hearing, we've had a lot of meetings that it's been the five of us and the attorneys conversing. And the public has had no comment. And my suggestion to council is that when we get done today, if we get done today, when we get done today.
I've had comment.
I would hope we would end up with a final document and then ask the attorneys to draw that up as an ordinance and reintroduce a whole ordinance, go through the whole process and allow the public to have comment on what we're proposed to do. I know it's gonna take an extension of the moratorium, but I think at the end of the day, I know I wanna get done as soon as you guys did, and girls, but I think at the end of the day, we are better served if we take our time and do this one time and do it right. So that's my thought process. It's council's choice what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But my recommendation would be that we would end up with a final document, have it drawn up as an ordinance, introduce that ordinance, and then have a public hearing on that and see what the public wants to say. Yeah. That's me. Anything else? Mr. Cole?
Maybe, just a follow-up on that. Would it be possible that what Mike just said is a good point, get public input, but maybe could we do it just after we get done, we come up with a draft, and just schedule another public hearing and continue on with what we have and then adopt, not have to reintroduce, which is, again, takes a lot of time. And again, we've got this moratorium, which I've always heard that we should try to avoid moratoriums when at all possible, because moratoriums don't help anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say. In other words, eliminate the reintroduction and the whole, you know, go back to planning, zoning, everything, but give the public an opportunity to put it on our website, let them see it, and where we go. Major changes could be addressed.
Normally, my thoughts would concur with you, Mr. Cole, but in this case, when we started out with an ordinance, this ordinance or these motions that we're looking at adding to change this ordinance is so totally different than what we started with. And it's very convoluted, difficult to follow, and based on that, I like Mr. Vincent's suggestion that we take what all the input from all the public discussion that the council has had, put together a concise ordinance, and then we could reintroduce it, have the public hearing. That would give the public two chances to comment, one at the planning and zoning stage and also back at county council stage. And then hopefully if there are any tweaks that have to be made to that, or fairly minor tweaks as opposed to the very voluminous amount of tweaks that we're having to do to it to here. Tweak, not tweet.
Okay.
Well, could I make a, could I ask you a question then? The only thing that concerns me is, and this has been brought up a number of times by different people, we did not include the conversion of an existing billboard currently now under our existing ordinance
question
to electronic messaging system. So the moratorium doesn't address those conversions. Is it possible if we, you know, extend this moratorium that we include that there'd be no changes to from a static billboard, you know what I'm trying to say, mm-hmm. to an electronic messaging system? As of right now, it's still wide open because all those will be grandfathered in or something like that. So anyway, my concern is that we've allowed this loophole because we didn't think about it when we did adopt the moratorium, and I think a couple have indicated we should have probably included that. Anyway, that's my concern. Can we address that?
The current moratorium has language that allows us to extend that exact moratorium by simple motion. If we would do something else, I would be concerned that it would need to be, take the form of an ordinance. Mr. Sharp?
I agree.
Okay. All right. That's unfortunate because I think, again, we've allowed a major loophole to exist. How fast then, could you give me a scenario on how fast, if we expedite all this, how fast could we expedite what Mike has alluded to and Everett on this process?
We are currently looking at the dates right now as it relates to the schedule for Planning and Zoning Commission because they have their dates, two meetings a month, and it would have to go through them. We're currently looking at that right now. So as quickly as we possibly can, which could mean potentially, there's a potential of if this is the process you choose to take at the end of today, we would introduce the next new ordinance next week. That there's a potential for that if we can get all the work done in 1 week, and that would start and trigger the process and we could schedule it accordingly. We're obviously under the advertisement requirements, which is out of our control to some degree with how much time, lead time the newspapers need. But other than that, and how much work we can get done, that's the only thing that will limit us.
Can I ask you a question?
I will have you a better answer by the end of this meeting.
Okay. Yeah, that's just some of the concerns I'm having with.
And to clarify, if you wanted to introduce another moratorium on another item, we could do that too, but that's. You are not, I don't believe I agree with that our attorneys, we could not amend the current moratorium to address the single issue that you are attempting to address that would require something else.
Well, I assume that. I just wanted to hear it from our attorneys. And if we didn't, let me just say this, it at the end of this session, if we didn't follow what Everett alluded to and Mike had just alluded to, we wouldn't be following our attorney's advice, right? We would be, it would be difficult for this body to question and challenge all our high-priced attorneys. That includes you two, Vince. look this way, Vince.
Yeah, typically when we have an ordinance, there might be a few amendments to it. But right now, we're looking at the amount of motions that we would have to make. And we're looking at roughly 15 motions.
And then there's a consensus motion that has roughly 35 amendments there. So you're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 40.
Okay, all right. Enough discussion. Let's get going. I just wanted
to. Mr. Wilson, you have a comment or question?
My question is, did we not advertise this meeting today?
This meeting was posted on a regular agenda.
It was advertised, correct?
That's correct, but this is not a public comment.
If we advertised, how come we sit around here, we don't see but three or four people here today? It seemed like the public's not really interested in what we're doing. Evidently, we better put it on the billboards, Lynn, and maybe we could put it on the billboards that we had a meeting here today.
Good point, sir. Mr. Sharp, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Oh, wait, Mr. Darlett, you have something?
I just to reaffirm what was being discussed. Well, there's two things being discussed. So, number one that was mentioned by our president was to reintroduce this proposal as a new ordinance.
It's not this proposal.
But
we're going to take
with this proposal.
Yes,
right. But I mean, this is a summary of what we've already done thus far, correct?
Yes.
So, really, the 99.9% of the work has really been done. It just may be going through this as to kind of reaffirm what we've already discussed. So so that was number one. Number two is Todd, you had mentioned that as early as next week, this could get in front of P&Z?
No.
The new ordinance would be introduced.
Here. Got mm-hmm. it. Next week. And then from there, it would get back into P&Z's agenda.
Right.
And you...
Pending the advertisement requirements, yes.
And their advertisement requirement is what?
Ordinance is...
It's like 15 days.
So, because they have a meeting, I think it's next week Thursday, I would presume, I think, right? They had one last Thursday, so we're talking probably 2 weeks beyond next week Thursday. Would that be probably an accurate statement?
They will not... We could not advertise and introduce quick enough to have the... ordinance considered next Thursday. That is
right,
correct.
Right, so 2 weeks beyond that is correct. When we would, and then after it comes before them, then it could come to us immediately following.
Assuming they take action with a recommendation.
Right, so we could still put it in our agenda, even though they may or may not vote on it, because we could always adjust our schedule.
Correct.
Our agenda. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we go through this today, and if it's the council's decision, we could be looking at another month. Give or take, would that be about right?
At least.
Yeah, at least.
Six weeks?
That would be optimistic.
Okay. And before we actually make the final decision. So that's that point. Mr. Cole made the comment regarding the digital piece, and that is a moratorium, an added piece to the moratorium could be brought up. I didn't hear a timeline or any thoughts with respect to
it. It would be the
his...
same type of timeline, because you would have to introduce the ordinance, it would have to go through P&Z and here.
It'd be a waste of time and redundant and everything else if we are trying to accelerate all this.
That's what I wanted to hear. So
it's just unfortunate we didn't think about it when early on.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Now you're up, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. What you've got before you, there's these two charts, and I'll direct you to those first. There's one that says a chart.
Just give you one more. I'm sorry.
Sam Garmer here. I got it. Go ahead. We're good.
There's a chart of agreed upon changes in consensus motion. These were a list of the items that, at least my recollection was, that it was 5-0. There was no dispute over them. What we did was we drafted a consensus motion that would encapsulate all of those changes. That's done in a chart format, and I'd propose that we go over this last, because when we were looking at this initially, we were talking about making amendments and voting on them individually. These were ones that were kind of nobody had a dispute with or seemed to have a dispute with, and that we could make as a whole. Then the next one is a chart of proposed amendments, and this one, you'll note, has numbers 1, 2, so on and so forth. And these are items which did not appear to have a 5-0 unanimous consent. And it seemed like in some cases that certain members may have wanted to have a vote on those individually. So what we did in those cases was, where appropriate, we did motions. So motion 1A, motion 1B, motion 1C, so on and so forth, where there were differing options as far as if you were to amend the introduced ordinance, how that amendment would look. What we've done in the notes section is we've identified the motion that corresponds with what the majority consensus was at our previous meetings. There are a few here that probably warrant just a bit of discussion, just because from some of the comments that we've heard since our last meeting. And I'll just point out those numbers to you, and we'll go into more depth as we go through this. Numbers 1, which deals with the abandoned on-premise and off-premise signs. Number 6, which deals with the removal of a sign face. Those two kind of go together. And then 7 and 8, which deal with the size of on-premise electronic message centers and a separation distance from on-premise electronic message centers and a billboard. So we've got some things here that seem to have probably warrant a little more discussion. Most of the other ones were ones that just were not unanimous consent, so we wanted to make sure they were identified and be able to vote on in that fashion. I'm willing to go through them one by one if you wish, and see what your discussions and thoughts are on them.
That's fine, sure.
So, yeah. The first one, this is deals with the abandoned on-premise and off-premise signs. There's three different ways that we would handle them. The first one is we would amend both definitions in accordance with what was done in the commission in the alternate ordinance way, which was that they'd be abandoned after 6 months. Motion 1B, which would be that they are, both signs would be abandoned if they no longer identify an ongoing business and the sign permit had been expired for 6 months. And then motion 1C, which was seemed to be the one that the consensus of the group had at the last one, which was it's a hybrid. So for off-premise signs, you'd say if it's abandoned, you know, 6 months and it doesn't have an ongoing business on there or anything, then it would be considered abandoned. For an on-premise sign, it would be that the permit has elapsed for more than 6 months and no longer advertises an ongoing business. So we just wanted to make sure that those were clear and those options were there. So I don't know if there was any further discussion on that or if how you all wanted to address that.
I'll just say, I throw it on the table, we'll do these as quick as we can. 1C sounds, I guess, the most, it kind of does a little bit of both things and probably is the best way to go. Because it does tie a permit to the on-premise, right?
That's correct.
And now is there a permit also, is it tied in also to the first part, Amendment A, for off-premise? Is there a permit?
There's no permit.
Permit requirement is not?
Correct, for the determination of whether it's being abandoned.
Okay.
It just would, if it's 6 months and it's not being used, it's considered abandoned.
Okay, which is what was in the original draft of the opposition and the planning
correct.
Zoning both agreed.
Correct.
Okay.
The real change there is in the substance of.
But an on-premise, we would require there's some connection with a permit.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
And just as a point of order, when we had drafted this, it was with the idea that we would be voting on the introduced ordinance and these individual amendments. So we wanted to, the idea being that if there was a motion, we'd have a motion, we can amend these. It sounds to me like we're going to be doing a completely new ordinance. So what I'm going to do here is mark the ones that seem to be, you know, confirm that these are consensus points, and we will draft a new ordinance accordingly. So,
okay. Is there any objection to the note where it says notes, and we do a blend of the two and option three?
Well, option three was the one that was the consensus
right.
majority, and that's the one that in your packet you had been, in your binder, you've been given tab two, which is the sign ordinance that shows a red line version of the code. What we did there was we actually took the code and accepted all the changes in the introduced ordinance, and then we added any of the changes in redline and strike-throughs that would be as a result of the amendments that were either the unanimous consent or majority consensus. So, for example, what motion 1C is, if you were to go to tab 2 and look in there, you would see that the changes that are made with 1C.
That's what it would look like.
Correct.
Okay.
And actually, if you really want to get technical with it, in tab 3, we did the redline version of the ordinance, but also showed you the references to each of the individual motions so you could follow it and see where they were.
So you're saying we should be looking at tab 3 maybe?
Tab 3 you could look at, and that would...
Is the best one instead of flipping back and forth so much?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, let's flip there. So anyway, so the first one, anybody got any comments on the wording is highlighted in red, I presume, right? Is the suggestion?
That's correct.
Or not?
Yeah, no, I think, again, I think tying it to the permit is relevant. I think that's important.
Well, that's a tie-in, which we thought was, I think we all kind of agreed, is
right.
Important. When you have a permit, it means something.
So,
okay. All right.
All right, moving on to number two. This one was also... this dealt with the separation distances between off-premise signs and on-premise signs. Motion 2A, this is again the one that was the consensus motion, was that an off-premise sign cannot be placed within 50 feet of an on-premise sign, but it would allow for an on-premise sign to be placed within 50 feet. Now, I do note that there was a difference in how we dealt with the electronic message centers, and we're going to get to that a little later. This is strictly correct, with just off-premise signs. So if you've got an on-premise sign, you can't put your billboard within 50 feet of that. But if you had a billboard, you could place your on-premise sign within 50 feet.
Right.
Like right under it?
Within 50 feet. So if they could fit it there,
could be zero?
Could be. It was not a reciprocal, that was the majority consensus that we had.
No, yeah, I personally think there should be some separation.
And that's why, and I remember that discussion in our last meeting, which was why motion 2B had a motion for a separation distance of 50 feet regardless of what was going where.
And we were trying to eliminate clutter when you got one over top of the other. That's you can't get much more cluttered than being one on top of the other. That's the ultimate in clutter. So any suggestions? And I'd like to see a distance. I don't know if anybody.
I thought that's where we were going with that, if I'm not mistaken. So
just for the point of reference on that, the reason it got that way is, and I don't know what the right answer is, but we kind of looked at it from the other side, is that if there was a billboard that pre-existed, we didn't want to stop a local business from having their own on-premises sign just because, you know, they were sort of penalized by being within 50 feet of a billboard. It makes it tough to think through how this is going to work, but you could think about it. You might have a billboard and then a new business goes there and suddenly they can't have an on-premises sign if it's within 50 feet.
Right, but the property would have to be awfully narrow if your only option is zero, you know, stacked. So I'm saying there's very few commercial parcels, which is you gotta have a commercial parcel that's small. So 25 feet, you know, I can't imagine a commercial parcel would having less than 25 foot of frontage. I'm sure they're all greater than that. So I'm just saying, I think distance, if we're trying to spread this out a little bit and avoid clutter, we ought to put a distance in. So,
Mr. Wilson, yes, you may.
I say here, so billboard is
on behalf of Dan Kramer.
He's not here today.
He's listening.
On behalf, in the microphone.
Well, I said, if a billboard is put up on the same property and you want to put a sign down underneath that, a smaller sign, I can't see where the argument comes in here. I think we need to stop.
Well, Sam, a 300-foot sign would be on top. What we permit underneath would be a 200-foot sign. That's a lot of sign. It makes a solid wall. And that could impact the next neighboring commercial activity when you permit a solid wall at a signage. So,
yeah, good idea.
How many square feet is this sign going to be, George?
What sign? We permit 200 square feet for on-premise signs, and we permit 300 square feet for an off-premise sign, and as much as 600 square feet, right?
That's correct.
On a four-lane highway. So you could have a sign that's 200 square feet under a 300 square foot sign. They almost look identical to the average person. Anyway, you've created a wall, and we're trying to avoid clutter. So somebody, either three of you like it or three of you don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't like the zero.
If you like it.
He doesn't care.
I like it. Rob's up to you.
So my comment is Vince, to your point, I think if there is a pre-existing billboard that's there, i.e. off-premise, they're advertising for a business that does not exist on that parcel. And somebody, I presume that that same owner, right, wants to put in a business that is on-premise, to your analogy, I think we have to put a priority and an emphasis, number one, on that business owner's decision. It's their choice, right? Absolutely. They want to stick to the off-premise or establish an existing business that's going to be there. But to distinguish, if there is a priority, number one, it's the business owner's decision, what's most important for them in their business model. Number two is it's the on-premise business. Right? You don't want to hinder the on-premise business. So to me, I will tell you that I would be agreeable to a distance. I think there has to be an emphasis on that. And in the end, it's the business owner's decision if what they want to do.
Are you 2A or 2B? That's the question.
Well, 2B requires the distance, correct? Mm-hmm. And 2A does not. So I am in...
2A does, except it doesn't when you... If you have an off-premise sign, you can put an on-premise sign.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The distance there, yeah.
But, I mean, that's telling you, in other words, which one got there first. Mm-hmm. So, to me, I would do 2B.
It's cluttered.
Okay, you got three for 2B.
Okay. Three for 2B. All
right. And you got two for 2A, so the 2Bs win.
And business owner can make the decision what they feel is best.
So the sign can be zero stacked on it right underneath is what you just agreed to?
No.
No. Go back and reread what you agreed to.
Okay, we got the distance.
He's where are you telling him to do, George? He's where he is. Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
Forget the product.
Did you forget what you just agreed to?
No, I didn't. I was just confused on reading it.
Number three, sir.
I keep reading them and they all of a sudden they sound the same.
Number three, that was the one. The introduced ordinance had a front yard setback of 40 feet and a side yard setback of 50 feet for off-premise signs. There was a motion that was not the majority at the last meeting, but it was one that was raised to bring it back to what is in our existing code, which is a front yard setback of 25 feet, side yard setback of 20 feet if the sign was less than 200 square feet and 50 feet if it was greater than 200 square feet.
We're talking off-premise, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And when we drafted the red line version of your code, it was as though there had been no change to the introduced ordinance in that regard.
Where are we on? What page are we on?
Page two.
Section three.
Page two, item three.
115-159-5.
Mm-hmm. What page is that?
Well,
easier to tell me what page you are on.
Page two, item three.
He's looking for tab
in the notebook.
That's what happened.
Uh-huh. Page 13, I believe.
13, okay, we're at 13, okay.
It is 13.
Oh. And that would be at the very top, Mr. Cole.
And it reflects no change from our current ordinance?
That's correct. Well, no change from the introduced ordinance.
Which was 40 feet and 50 feet?
That's correct.
Okay, so that...
That was the majority consensus
okay,
at the last...
Okay, I'm fine with that.
That's fine.
Right.
George okay with 40 feet, 50 feet. Jones okay, 40 feet, 50 feet. Mr. Arlett?
I'm agreeable.
Arlett's with it. So you got three there. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay, next one. This was off-premise signs. Again, that same area. There, the consensus was for motion 4A, which was a separation distance of 150 feet from an off-premise sign and a property which is or contains church, school, dwelling, or public lands. It'd be measured on a radius, but property lines would be involved in that calculation. The alternative motions that we had was there would be just a separation distance from those certain things, such as a dwelling, school, church, or public lands, rather than the property lines. In the introduced ordinance, that was 500 feet. And then in motion 4C, that just said there was no separation distance requirement, which was also something that came up in the discussions. Again, the consensus there, and as we wrote in the red line version of the ordinance that you have before you, was with the motion 4A language.
4A.
Mr. Cole, you still okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, just remind us all that when you, where it's defined there, a property which is contains a church, school, dwelling, or public lands, a residential vacant lot is considered...
A dwelling. If it's actively marketed for sale.
Okay.
And the key on this one, it was in reference to the property line and not the dwelling. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
And that, are we okay with 4A?
Yeah, we're looking at property line.
Right.
Correct. Not the structure. Okay, yeah, I will try. That's good.
Mr. Dean, are you okay with that? Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
There's got three.
All right.
Motion five. This one dealt with amending the introduced ordinance. Again, that same area that we're talking about in the code. To limit the placement of an off-premise sign within 600 feet of another off-premises sign on all roads. It'd be measured on a radius on roads that have less than four lanes, linearly, basically the same side of the road if you're on more than four lanes. Alternatively, there was a motion 5B, which said it'd be 1,000 feet, again measured the same way that we just discussed. And then we put, if the introduced ordinance was kept, it'd be 1,000 feet, but measured on a radius on all roads. So there's a little difference there in the numbers and how you measure, but 5A was what the consensus of the majority was based on our previous hearings.
Mr. President, would you be upset if I went back to number four real quick?
I
apologize.
I would not be.
Sam would be, but I'm not.
Because I'm thinking about this, and I wanted to make sure I wanted clarification I'd like to get clarification is what I like, Mr. Sam. So the key here was 150 feet off the property line of the neighboring, if it church, right, school, or dwelling. My question that I have is, if that church or let's just say the church as the example, or give me an example whereas that parcel, okay, that has the church, school, or dwelling of or public lands, could they have an off-premise billboard there? And in other words, could they have one on their existing property, okay, that they maybe are using, or maybe that they have subleased to somebody, and you've got a billboard there? My question is, if that is, number one, is that permissible? Number two, if it is permissible, in this example, they could have, the neighboring property could have a billboard 150 feet from an existing billboard.
Well, I don't think, to answer your first question, which is could they, if you had one of these items on your property, you know, if you had a residence on your property, could you put a billboard up? And the answer, I think, there would be no, because we're measuring from property lines. And the way it's written is, which is or contains, and that covers the instance where you have a lot that's being sold and that's considered a dwelling. So that would be the is, and contains would be the one that's a lot that has a church, school, or a public lands. Those are the things that we were looking at from the instance of, okay, if you've got that, you can't have it on there. Now, as the code currently reads, you'd have to be 300 feet from those structures anyhow. Now, if you had a property that's big enough, presumably, and you were zoned appropriately, presumably you could have those on the one parcel. Would seem to preclude that.
But do you understand my question? I mean, I want clarification. Do ensure that, you know, right now we've got a proposal in there, billboard separation of off-premise of, 600 feet, I believe. Is that correct? I think that's what's in here. So is this an opportunity to prevent that from happening, whereas it's only 150 feet off that property line, and that property has an existing off-premise billboard? In other words, that 600 feet all of a sudden could get shortened to 200, as an example.
I think it would become non-conforming at that point.
But could they still get the approval?
If it's, it would be a non-conforming one, so it would fall under that classification. If you had one that was a property that has a church on it and wanted to go ahead and put a billboard up a year from now, say this was approved in this way, I don't think they would be allowed to do that. But if you had a property that is now currently used as a church and has a billboard on it, it would fall under a non-conforming classification. That's one of those things that we're looking at. We're with any of these changes, we're being more restrictive or even less restrictive. We're creating.
I guess. Really, do we have the ability? Because I don't want the. I don't. It's not this. you know, quote unquote rule or another. It's end. Does that make sense? In other words, we still have a 600 feet separation, and you still have to meet this requirement.
That's correct.
It's not an or. It's an end.
Correct.
They've got to
meet all of them. Yeah.
That's a factual statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay,
I mean, right now in our code, it's you got to be 300 feet from another billboard, and you have to be 300 feet from a dwelling, a church, school, public lands.
So it would be 600 feet and this.
Correct.
Not or.
Correct.
Okay.
Not to belabor this thing, but instead of this, the improvement, we're making the distance from an improvement, not so much the zoning. The church could be in a commercial zone. A school could be in a commercial zone. Now, public lands, maybe that's something different, but should we be maybe looking from a commercial zone? In other words, be concerned that not so much that it contains a church, a school, or something, but we ought to, an off-premise sign needs to be a certain distance from a commercial zone.
Well, they can only, they're
it's
only
going to
be
being used commercially or something, maybe, because, you know, you got vacant lots everywhere. How do you, if that vacant lot is zoned commercial, how does it become a residential dwelling by definition? If there's a vacant lot on Coastal Highway, it's probably zoned commercial.
If it's a vacant lot on Commercial Highway between, say, Five Points and Rural.
Does this apply then to that, you know, when we talk about dwellings?
At that point, under our definition of dwelling, it's going to depend on what's approved there. In other words, if there's a residential site plan for condominiums. That's
well, just say
there.
There's an old house sitting on it, like, you know, still stuck there on Coastal Highway or 113. You know, 113 south of Millsbury. You got all those residential houses. They're all zoned commercial.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Does the
it's gonna
commercial
depend.
Zoning or the use of the property? I would think the zoning would trump the use.
No, it's the use. So if it's used as a dwelling under our definition of dewelling, that's it. Or if
but
it's
that's
marketed,
how the courts would look. I mean, the courts you're saying. Okay, that's all I know. All right, then we're stuck with this, Davis. Okay.
All right.
I think it was safe to go back to
number five.
Five, I think.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, just to recap, motion five, again, the consensus was to go with 5A, which limited the placement of off-premise signs within 600 feet on all roads, be measured on a radius on two-lane roads, on a lineal basis on four-lane roads. That distance was increased, it was 1,000 feet on motion 5B, measured the same way. In the introduced ordinance, it's 1,000 feet, but measured on a radius on all roads. The consensus was to say 600 feet, but have the differing measurements on the different types of roads.
Okay.
So currently we're, what, 300 feet?
That's correct.
Yep.
Measure on a radius on all roads.
And this is a non-electronic sign. We're still addressing electronic signs somewhere else. This is just fixed signs.
You okay with all that?
I'm still bigger for I'm for a great, you know, 1,000 feet, but.
Mr. Wilson, you okay with that?
1,000 feet, no.
No, the 600 feet.
500 is plenty.
Well, we got 600 or 1,000. We got one, two.
And to remind Mr. Wilson, the 600 number came up because we have existing 300. So it was just in increments of 300 to make it more simpler for the long-termness of it.
Why, how simple is your, and you went to sign bins?
Well, again, that's why we're here, and they're not making the decision. We have their input,
right?
But it was a suggestion of having 600 versus 500.
Right now the question is 600 or 1,000.
And there wasn't any feedback, any negative on 500 versus 600.
I'll stick with the 600.
600. Mr. Arlett, you were 600?
I am.
We got three. Keep on going.
Okay. Motion six. Motion.
Sorry.
600.
We're at 600.
Yeah, number five.
Number five.
Number
five. Number
six.
5A.
What was the decision?
5A.
Jim, let's go to 500.
Be quiet. 5A. That was the decision?
Right. The motion's 5A. Yes.
Okay.
Ma'am.
Thank you. Yes. And that was three of us, or?
That's three said yes.
Three down there.
Three down there said yes. That's
gotcha.
Correct.
Motion number 6A. That deals with the removal of a sign face, and this deals with, again, the abandoned on-premise signs. The majority was that to go with 6A, which was that there would allow the director to remove an abandoned sign face, but a sign structure would be up there. Again, this would be the situation where a sign permit has lapsed, something has been advertising an ongoing, no longer advertising an ongoing business on the property. That would allow the director only to remove the sign face, but the sign structure could remain. That was a little different than what we had in the introduced ordinance, which would just allow the director to remove an illegal sign, which would be the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Could the director also, like, let's say the sign structure is in disrepair and stuff. Could the director have the ability to remove the abandoned sign and the structure? Could we combine those two? Upon an inspection,
well,
it was obvious that it was in disrepair.
We do have language that allows for the director to remove, and I'm just trying to find the right spot.
I mean, would it be good to insert it here just so it'd be very clear?
If you were to look on page 15, Mr. Cole, paragraph H.
In the booklet?
In the booklet on the...
Wait, 15, page 15. Okay, which where?
Paragraph H says, all signs shall be maintained in good condition and appearance. And after good notice as provided, director may cause to be removed at the owner's expense any sign which shows gross neglect or becomes dilapidated.
And that's on and off premise?
That's
or
any sign.
Any sign.
That's okay, in our code now.
Okay, so the director can do that removal of the abandoned sign face. And if he so deemed, he could remove, okay, mm-hmm. All of it. Okay, it's in there.
Right. 6A, you okay with 6A, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, that's all right.
Mrs. Dean, were you okay with 6A?
Yes,
Mr. Arlett, you okay with 6A?
Yes.
There you go.
Motion 7, and this was one of the couple here that we had that seemed to warrant some discussion, and this one I would anticipate probably has the most discussion needed. It deals with on-premise electronic message centers and the size of those. We have a motion 7A, which would limit the size of an on-premise electronic message center face to no more than half the size of the total sign area. You may recall at our last meeting there was some discussion about, well, should we, you know, if you had an on-premise sign, should you just limit the size of that to on-premise electronic message center capabilities? There was also a discussion that if you were to do that, and rather than doing half of it, you just say you limit it to 100 square feet, whereas it's 200 now. And then the third option would just to be leave it as is, which is a 200 square foot size limitation. So I say that, and before we really dive into that discussion, it does bootstrap nicely into motion 8, which deals with the separation distance between the on-premise electronic message center and the off-premise sign. So in the way that it's written in motion 8A was that there would be a separation distance of 50 feet from an on-premise EMC that is less than 100 square feet or less from an off-premise sign. So you would have that minimum 50-foot buffer between the two. If the EMC were to exceed 100 square feet, then you would go 1 foot separation distance for each foot above the 100. So if you were 150 square foot, you'd have to be 100 feet away. It'd be measured on a radius, and there would be no variances that would be permitted. Motion 8B incorporates that same concept, but it would apply only to signs which are on the same parcel. So these were, again, some, I hate bringing two of these kind up at the same time, but I think it all kind of fits in a similar discussion, which is really the size of your electronic message center face.
Okay, I mean, do you want us to address one or the other, or try to?
I think it'd probably be best to look at 7 first, because we're talking about the size of it, but I wanted to bring up that also leads into the separation distance.
Well, as I've observed, in not only our jurisdiction and other jurisdictions, we've got a couple EMC signs that are 100% 200 square feet of EMC for an on-premise sign. Some of those signs don't even acknowledge whatever, you know, or bring attention to the business, anything with a fixed anything on this thing. So,
but that's an enforcement issue.
Well, no, I'm just saying because we have permit 100% of a 200 square foot sign to be electronic messaging. So I would support that half, you know, 50% of the 200 square feet or whatever size they decide. Half the sign can be electronic messaging, and half the sign would be a fixed, you know, message, being the name of the business, whatever else they want to put on.
So you have your pharmacy name and gallons of milk.
But then if they want to advertise stuff with some, you know, electronics, they would be 50%. I think 100% on-premise is excessive. So that's just, and again, I just went through a bunch of jurisdictions, and I didn't see the electronic messaging. What I found interesting is they refer to this national average. The trouble is, throughout the nation, very few people are permitting what these, what we were implied was like the national average. Everybody's doing it but us. No, very few people are having the flashing and the moving and everything else. Every electronic off-premise billboard I saw while I was away was message came up, message went off, like what we're doing, which I think we're acknowledging right in this proposal.
That's a different issue than what we're talking about here.
I'm just saying on premise.
Keep straight.
I didn't see very. I saw any. I can't even remember seeing any that were 200 square feet of electronic messaging for an on premise sign. Most of them were a portion of their sign was dedicated to electronics. So I think a percentage ought to be dedicated, and a percentage ought to be dedicated to the name of the business and et cetera, because we do have a couple that are just. And under this proposal, you could do 200 square feet, correct? The whole sign could be electronic.
That's correct. The draft that you have in front of you.
Just something to throw on the table right now. I think the first one kind of actually basically says that half the size. The next one, I think, says 100 square feet. But I would say that giving the business owner the ability to, if he wants a 200 square foot sign, fine. If he wants a 150 square foot sign, he could, you know, whatever he wanted to do, half would be limited to electronics messaging. So if anybody wants to argue that or think it would be better to have 200 square feet of all electronic, make that point.
Well, I think number one, I don't want to confuse the issue as it relates to animation versus the size of the bill of the sign here. So it's different topics and different discussions. So to me, it is not what we're focused on here is the size of an on-premise sign as it relates to the EMC. So I, you know, if the concern is you don't want, quote unquote, I'll just use this term, two billboards, i.e. a 200 square foot on premise and then a 300 off premise, which is item number 8, correct? If I'm not mistaken, I think as it relates to that. So I have had a little thought, a little bit more about that. And so I want to talk about that distance, because in the end, one could have 200 and one could have 300, you know, 50 feet away from each other, right, Todd? Is this the one that we talked about?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I would be supportive of sticking to item number 7. I would be supportive if the business decides it's what they choose. I've got no problem doing the 200 square feet full size of the EMC. Again, I don't want to penalize the on-premise business here. Why are we going to put a limitation on them and not on the off-premise guy? So to me, we should if they choose to do that, then I've got no issue with that. I think I have had some more thought with respect to the distance part on number 8. But what are Mike? What is your
sales? Seven. You're saying you're okay with leaving the ordinance.
I would be okay. Correct. I would be supportive of that. I would be.
Mr. Wilson, are you supportive of that?
I'm in favor of that.
You got 3.
Okay. So number 8. That's where I've had some little thought on that one. I know I came up with the idea of staggering it, but I think.